Hey, it's JMS. I am so excited for you to check out this episode. And if you are in Cincinnati, I will be there February 7th and 8th. I'm doing two shows, technically in Dayton, Kentucky. I will be giving 10% of the show to a local charity called Women Helping Women. And if you're in Wrightwood, California on Valentine's Day, or if you're looking for something to do on Valentine's Day and are interested in a cute little mountain escape, I'm doing a Valentine's Day show at the Speakeasy at Wrightwood B&B. And those are my road shows for the time being. I am otherwise in LA or perhaps in other cities while I edit and promote and get ready to release my very first hour special. So I will see you out on the road. Thank you for listening. Enjoy this episode.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought?
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance's Blast podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots, welcome back to Ignorance's Blast with me, JMS. It's another solo episode to kick off the new year, but guess what? We've got tons of guests coming up, so don't worry. It's not just going to be my personal diary forever. We just had a guest on Monday. What am I talking about? I released the Omid episode, but I'm recording new ones, lots of new ones coming up, so I'm very excited for that, and I will tell you about some of the upcoming guests in just a minute, but I wanted to remind you, if you're in Cincinnati, I will be there. Cincinnati, that's not a song. I am coming your way. Well, I'll be in Dayton, Kentucky, but it's basically Cincinnati. I'm gonna have to fly into Cincinnati. Still need to buy my goddamn flight, and we're about a month out, so that's not good. February 7th and 8th, Cincy, be there or be somewhere else. What do I know? But if you're in the Cincinnati area, if you know someone in the Cincinnati area who loves to laugh, I don't want this to be the last time I'm there, and I haven't asked about ticket sales, but I'm going to say this as if I have and they're bad, just in case. I'm not... there's no second chances. And that's not just for Cincinnati. I'm done. I'm not building. If there's a dog shit turnout in a new place, which really wasn't the case for last year, almost every new place I went, it was solid and I was happy. I got my markets that I am growing in that have people who come out. I'm not going to build if this is some 20 people buy tickets. Don't stress me out. Anyway, and you will stress me out no matter what I say right now. Everyone who is going to come, A, isn't listening to this. Well, that's not true. Some of you are listening to this, but I feel like the people listening, you guys are the ones who will get the tickets early. If you're in Cincinnati, they're going to wait till the day before, though. People, day before, day of, they go, we'll figure out our plan. We'll buy them. And I want to get mad, but it's like I'm not flying by the seat of my pants this whole time. Okay, it's a new year. Happy New Year, by the way. Happy Hanukkah just ended, and Christmas was a little bit ago. And I don't know. What are you guys? You got New Year's? We doing resolutions this year? I haven't actually made a resolution. I think my only resolution is to try to be more present. I'm making this up on the go. Try to be more present in my everyday life. And I want to maintain my gratitude practice. And by maintain, I mean start and keep having one. And just focus on the wins and enjoy the process instead of worrying about what's next or looking at, you know, the numbers of how many people sell this, how many did this. It's like, be proud of the products I put out. And by products, I mean comedy, which is weird to call a product. Do I offer a product or a service? I mean, I'm making you laugh. That is a service. But I am creating art, which is technically a product. And I mean, art is a loose term, I guess. I mean, are we all creating art anytime we put a sentence together? I don't know. Because art can be bad. It doesn't have to be good. I mean, I I know my comedy is solid. It's good. Just funny to think of. We need like distinctions between types of art. I mean, I know we go like performance art, visual art, but to call yelling and talking about my pussy the same term as like, I don't know, a sculpture, David, it seems a little silly to me. But as I started saying that, I was about to name a painting, not even a specific painting, it was like a Picasso. But it's, I mean, if you look at Picasso's, it really, is he more sophisticated than a comedian doing dick jokes? I don't know. It's a bunch of lines on paper. It's fucking makes no sense to me. And we go, I mean, it's sure, looks cool. Sometimes some of his paintings are cool. But like, even some of the best paintings, like, okay, what else? I don't know. What am I saying? I'm just getting mad at people who paint. You know what? I need a creative outlet that I don't at all try to turn into content. And I don't know what that is, but I'm going to find it this year. Just something like being creative for the sake of being creative, which used to be what comedy was many, many years ago when I could only dream of making a living. So gratitude. New year, new cover, by the way. Did you notice? Listen, I did a vote. I did a vote in the Facebook group. Minimal responses, by the way. Shame on all of you. But if you want to get in there to get involved in the next vote or start a conversation, suggest a guest, comment on an episode. If you go, hey, I wish you would have expanded more on what you were saying about this, if it's a solo episode or even with a guest, you go like, you know, I wish you would have dug further into that. I want you to have them back on, especially if you hear a guest upcoming that you're like, oh, I love them, please have them back, because that's happening this year. If it's a fun conversation, we're just getting silly with funny friends and we might learn some things along the way. But I think I was most locked in, because if you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, you've also been not listening for a long time because there have been wide gaps. You know, I've gone through iterations, and I feel most locked in when I've got a comedian who I am friends with and I can ask them questions, but it's gonna get silly. Even if we delve into a heavy topic, there's gonna be silly, ridiculous moments. So that's what I'm focusing on. And if there are people you like that you've enjoyed in the past, excuse me, or if someone upcoming comes on and you're like, what the heck is this guy doing? Oh my God, this lady's so funny. Get in the Facebook group. It's linked in the show notes. It's called Idiots. It's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/JMS comedy. Let me know. Ask other people. People go, I thought that guy was kind of weird. Anybody else get a weird vibe? That's okay too. Let me tell you, these comedians, they're never joining that group. They're not going to do that. They're too busy looking at their own social media, wondering how many views they got. And I say that with unfortunately heavy personal experience. So I'm going to take a sip of my coffee here for just a second. Bear with me, folks. So anyway, I posed a vote on 4 new covers. That was my creative outlet, is making new covers, but that was for content technically. Although I do enjoy, I'm well aware that I am not at all on the scale of professional editing or graphic design. I use a little app that makes it pretty easy. I know a lot of people use Canva. I'm not about to promote Canva. I don't have a problem with it, but that's just not what I use. I use an app called Bazaart, B-A-Z-A-Art, Bazaart. But it's like bizarre with a T, but bizarre in the, are you allowed to say Arabian, Middle Eastern way, where it's like a street market? Also, I don't even know if that's a thing. Are they really called that? Or is that just a thing I saw at Busch Gardens one time on a weird, you know, Middle Eastern themed roller coaster in line? Or maybe The Mummy, Indiana Jones, one of those. Anyway, I digress. I don't give myself enough credit though. So you'll see the cover. I designed it. I think it's okay. I think it's pretty solid. You can go back to Ignorance is Blessed Instagram, which I believe is linked in the show notes, or just go to my Instagram, JMS Comedy. It's in the bio. Or it's Ignorance is Blessed. You know the name of the fucking podcast. Find it. Please. Please find it. Please engage. I posted all 4 on there so you can see all 4 that I made. And, you know, I've always been very much like, you know, I'm not a great graphic designer. That's how I've always approached it, out of respect to the greats. I've had graphic designers that have been hired to make things for me or that I've been a part of, pitch decks or what have you, and they do magic. But I'll tell you, I was on a show last month, and it was independent, self-produced. I was one of the producers, and we're trying to, it's kind of like we're all producers, basically. We're trying to break up the tasks. And I was like, oh, hey, I said to my friend, "What, do you mind throwing a flyer together?" And he threw a flyer together. And that's when I realized I'm actually pretty good at graphic design relative to most people. Jeffrey, he's not even here. So you listen to this, Jeffrey, what the fuck was that flyer? I should have just said that to him. I mean, he got the point when I was like, you know what? I'll get a guy. And I did. I got actually my friend Jimmy, who does incredible graphic design. He makes a lot of stuff for different comedians. I got him involved, frankly, because I knew he would do, I knew I could do a better job than what Jeffrey put out there. I knew Jimmy could do a better job than all of us. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to think about it. Let's just, I'll throw him. We're trying to save money by not doing stuff like that because, you know, we weren't sure if we're going to make money on the show. And let me tell you, we didn't. Sometimes that happens, gang. And that's why no matter what it looks like on social media, I don't know what it looks like. Probably just that I'm out of my mind. Let me tell you, I am working class at best. Lower middle class at my greatest moments. And that is an illusion. I have no money. I am technically in poverty, but really just racking up those credit card bills. What are we doing? I got to pay down the credit cards. I did think about just stopping paying and going, fuck you, and trying to negotiate. But so far, I'm drowning trying to keep myself afloat in terms of credit. Which, by the way, speaking of credit cards, I booked a hotel in Melbourne, Florida. In case you're listening going, it's Melbourne. I kept subconsciously calling it Melbourne because of how many times I've heard people say that about Australia. But it's Florida. It's Melbourne. The Hilton Melbourne. Let me just tell you something. I booked it through my Chase credit card. We checked in and checked out immediately. I wasn't even going to talk about this because I'm hoping maybe they'll come around and do the right thing. At which point, I'll happily update you guys that they have. We checked in and checked out, and they are now refusing to... They're like, it's non-refundable. The room was reeked of mildew. There was mold, I'm not kidding, coming out of the air conditioning. Like, I'm a little dramatic. I know that. But in things like... When it comes to accommodations, I mean, I've been road dog, and I have stayed in some nasty motels. I've stayed in some sketchy condos, questionable surroundings. Not a peep uttered. Nate is not a baby. He has self-worth, and he's not going to stay in a shithole, but he's not going to put up a stink. We both, upon walking in this room, were like, there's something wrong with this hotel. Checked out, said, Sayonara, the woman at the front desk told us that we would be refunded for the second night immediately. That didn't happen. But for the first night, since we already checked in and it's through a credit card, we'd have to go through the credit card. Tried to go through the credit card, who called the hotel. The hotel didn't do shit. Tried going through Hilton, who then called the hotel. And I'm like, you're going to keep getting the receipt. What do we... Just give me my fucking money back. Not only did they not give me my money back, and when I say money, I mean my points. I used points. I racked up all of these points because I've racked up all of this debt on my Chase credit card. Going, well, I'll get points. It can be used on my travel point too. So justifying it in my fucking dumb American consumer brain. They charged me for the room. Like, I paid with points and then I got charged the full amount. And that's not for you guys. I need a call. To worry about. None of this is for you guys to worry about. I need to call Chase. The whole point of this is, if for some reason life finds you in a scenario where you have to go stay in Melbourne, Florida, maybe you have an uncle like me who's taken a new job down there and he lives actually outside of Melbourne but tells you it's Melbourne, and probably because he doesn't want the family too close to his home in his nice neighborhood because we're too loud and just a risk. Just a chaos. You got to be able to, you know, turn it off and get some peace. Which, by the way, is the whole reason we were in a hotel, because my aunt's got an Airbnb. We're like, we're all staying here. No, I can't do that anymore. I can't do large groups. It was my aunts, my mom, my brother, my uncle, two uncles. I don't know. I need peace. I need to be able to escape. And I knew I wouldn't be able to in a situation like that, because I'll stay up talking and sure, I'll be like, the memories, but later it'll catch up to me. Whatever. And I also, Nate hadn't met most of my family. And I was like, I'm not going to force him to be stuck with them in an Airbnb, which, by the way, the Airbnb was very fine. It was lower middle class, working class Florida home. It was a classic. I've been in LA too long, because that was a home very similar to any home the homes my dad rented. When we go visit him, he was always renting a house in Florida. I never thought twice about it. I was never like, this house, it's a little dreary. It was just like, cool, a house, great. Hey, there's rooms. I have a room. We got space. There's a yard. This is awesome. I have everything I need. And that is everything you need. But I've lived in LA too long. Even coming from my apartment, I was like, this house just feels a little drab. Who am I? But that was nothing. I would have taken that house 8,000 times over the Hilton Melbourne. Do not go there. There is another Hilton hotel we ended up at. They still, even having proof that I was at another Hilton hotel as way of being like, obviously I'm not just trying to like stick it to Hilton and get a free stay. You can see in my account, I went down the street to another hotel, which, by the way, the woman at the front desk of the Melby, that's what it's called, downtown, very cute, very fun, felt like young, hip hotel. That woman asked where we were coming from, and we were like, oh, funny story, we are coming from the other Hilton, which seemed like a nightmare, psych ward, scary movie story situation. And she's like, oh yeah, that happens a lot. So don't go to the Hilton Melbourne. Don't be fooled by the pictures. I was like, wow, this place looks nice. It's a shithole. It looks like there's doo-doo on the side of the building. I think it's because it's right underneath, like, there's all these, I'm going to say it wrong, but that, like, Northrop Gunman or what, a gunman? Probably, that's what it should be. All these weapons distributors are, I think they have factories. They're located right there in Melbourne. It's a seedy place. That hotel is for sure in the ring of places close enough to airports that everyone there is going to get a deformity, or their children will, or they'll die of cancer young. It's a sad state of affairs. I don't know what you think about Hilton. I travel a lot for a living, and I've stayed in a lot of places. Oftentimes, the comedy club I'm going to puts me in the venue, and you know, I've upgraded over the years. I was at clubs, like I said before, having shithole condos or terrible, you know, comfort inn. And nowadays it's usually a Hilton or a Marriott. And they, aside from this one, have always been comparable. I've always, even before this, been like, that's pretty. Oh, you're staying at a Hilton, staying at the Marriott. Nice. That's a nice hotel. It's not Home Alone 2, the Ritz, crazy. It's solid, nice. You know, you can feel safe, you can feel comfortable, you can feel clean. Not at the Hilton Melbourne. This is like the rogue retarded cousin. I don't know what to tell you. Just don't go there. That's all. May they rot in hell. But other than that, Christmas was pretty delightful. The flight there, terrible. Took a red eye. Why do I keep making this mistake where I go, red eye's not that bad. It'll be fine. We'll get there. We'll hit the ground running. I also had wanted to see, which I did end up seeing them, I wanted to see two of my best friends from college, one of whom has a baby, and obviously, like, her husband is also a friend since college. So I wanted to see them. So we went in a couple days early, like, oh, we'll be in the Orlando area before we go down to Melbourne and we'll see my friends. And I very stupidly thought, oh, yeah, we'll just get there. We'll grab a coffee. Oh, I bet my friend Brittany will get breakfast with us somewhere in Orlando. The worst flight of my life, like top three worst flights of my life. And I've been on red eyes before. None of them were ever amazing. I would say the one that was worse than this for me is the one time I used to never pick my seat. Because it's like, you know, you pick your seat. I could pick my seat and it'd be like toward the back half. Usually it's like a middle seat for free. Otherwise you have to pay. So I'd be like, well, I don't want to pay. But sometimes, and this is barely a hack, as you'll find out in this story, sometimes you don't pick a seat and they just kind of assign you one. You get a better seat than you would have picked for yourself. So I used to always roll the dice on, maybe I'll get a better seat than I would have picked for myself. But then after several times of being in the absolute back row, I think this was the final straw. I was in the back row next to the toilet on a red eye next to the back galley where, by the way, couldn't have had more chipper flight attendants. Never been on a flight with more talkative flight attendants than that red eye where people kept coming in and out of the bathroom. I was on the aisle, so the lights kept coming on and off and like shining in my face. I usually have a sleep mask. I don't remember why I didn't or if it just was so bad. Maybe it was more the noise of the door opening and flushing and then just full-on conversations by these flight attendants. It was hell on earth. And then this time, we were much closer to the front. We were actually like the first row or, no, not the first row, the second row behind first class. So it was main cabin extra seats, which we paid a little extra for. I sacrificed and sat in the middle because Nate wanted a fucking window seat. And I always sit on the aisle because I have anxiety about if I have to pee. Now I have to talk to this person and ask them, especially during a fucking red eye. Luckily, the woman next to me, largest woman I've ever seen next to me, just, and that's not, I'm not like big and tall, like a fucking, like Maxime, the lady who runs Beauxbatons on fucking Harry Potter, like just a massive woman. The poor woman had to be so uncomfortable on that flight too. And I say poor woman, but I immediately revoke that because this bitch had not just her phone, an iPad. She had a movie playing on her iPad, full brightness. And then her phone, she was playing a game. Full brightness. What are we fucking doing? I'm trying to sleep, I can't. Nate's trying to sleep, he can't. Everyone was mad. But I will say, everyone was so mad. Nate was so mad that he upgraded our seats to first class on the flight back. He's like, I don't care, I'll pay for it. And I was like, well, so worked out in the end for me. Because let me tell you, if you've never flown first class, holy shit. First class on American going back from Orlando to LAX, I've never done something like this. Like, I've once got upgraded from first class on a Delta flight. It was because I really think it is. I used to fly Delta all the time, then got the American credit card, started using that. And so I booked a flight on Delta. I don't even remember why. It was like, I think my shows were in Dallas and that maybe is a hub for, I don't know. It made more sense to book Delta. The flights were cheaper or they were more available at something. I had my American Express, which gets you into the Delta lounge, which I don't hate. We love that. If you're a frequent traveler and you have not leveled up to getting lounge access, it has ruined me. It's made me a piece of shit with airports. But then I got upgraded then on a 2.5-3 hour flight from Dallas to LAX. They gave me, you got to pick breakfast. So I got like a nice oatmeal. I know that's such a 90-year-old breakfast. But at the time I was like, oh man, this is some good oatmeal. You know, this flight from Orlando to LAX, they gave us a meal. We had upgraded too late to see the full menu. So we had to choose, which will happen. Like we chose between whatever they had like extras of on the plane, which was chicken parmesan and a veggie enchilada. I had to think about it because we obviously chose the chicken parmesan. And listen, I am going to make a promise right now. When and if, I'm going to say when, I'm manifesting positivity. When my career gets to the point, because of the support of awesome people like you, that I'm just flying first class all the time, God willing, it gets to that point, I'm not going to talk about it all the time. That's shitty. But I am hoping I will get to the point that's like, I can build that into my, you know, I'll come out there, but you got to put me up in this not Hilton and fly me first class. You know, like, that's the dream. Especially now that I've had a little dippy taste. A little teeny tiny taste. But since that isn't the case, and most of the time I'm doing the things I mentioned before, red eyes. It's getting from here to the East Coast. If I have a show in the East Coast time zone, doesn't have to be East Coast time zone, just Eastern time zone. I'm fucked. It's fucked either way. I could take a red eye, I won't be happy. If I'm taking an early flight the next day, I'm going to get in, have to haul ass to wherever the club is. Like, I don't have time to like relax and prepare for the show. So either way, I'm fucked. Until I'm at the point where I'm like confident I'm selling enough tickets, I can either, you know, have one of these experiences or just even build in, like, give me one extra night at the hotel before so I can come and like reset. That's the dream. But let me just tell you, we flew American because we both have the American credit card we got in the lounge in Orlando. Pretty basic lounge, pretty solid. Some snacks. Had I realized what I was about to experience on the flight, I probably wouldn't have gotten any snacks in the lounge because they fed us like we were kings in the Renaissance, it felt like. Chicken Parmesan was like a whole four course that was like an artichoke, a sun-dried tomato side dish with like a fresh hot roll, and it was like penne pasta with a delicious sauce. Like, good food. If you've ever flown international or are old enough that you flew in the days where they used to just across the country give everyone a meal, but it's like a shitty, like British Airways, which is technically American Airlines, I know that. If you're flying international, they'll just give you a meal, whatever class you're in, but this is not that. This was tasty. This is, and don't get me wrong, I will eat up that entire meal on those flights because I'm fucking hungry. It was lavish, and they kept coming back like, do you need any drinks? After our meal, they came around with a basket full of snacks. We're just handing out, like, you could pick a snack, like chips and popcorn and granola bars and, like, better snacks than what they offer, by the way. It's completely different selection than what the plebes in my normal seats are getting. And by the way, my normal seats now are usually main cabin extra. And is that because I fly with a service animal? And someone told me you could ask for bulkhead seating and they'll just bump you up automatically. Yeah. Otherwise, what am I going to pay for main cabin extra? That's what, because you get a free drink or free drinks? I don't fucking drink. You guys, and then they had a dessert. And because we were in the last row, I was like, oh, I'm kind of stuck between, I don't know if I want the brownie or the fruit and cheese platter. And the flight attendant's like, well, since you guys are in the last row, this is kind of the perk of being at the back of first class sometimes. Sometimes it's like, you get what you get and we're out of everything. But today, I could give you both if you want. She gave me two desserts. I gave some of the cheese to Moki. Moki's never been happier. I'm afraid that she's going to act out on our next flight when it's not first class. She's going to attack a first class member. She's not, but I don't know. It was just miles above anything I ever have experienced, and just hilarious that, just cartoonish that I just would have been like, man, that sucked. Nate was so pissed. He's like, no, we're changing our fucking flight. I can't live like this. And I was like, well, I can't afford that. And then Daddy came in. Daddy Nate came in and said, I love you and I will accommodate thus. Listen, I'm going to take a quick break. I have to pee and I have to get some water. And then I got a little bit more to say, honestly. So squeezing in some commercials, which I don't often try to do on these solo ones, but I want to talk about New Year's Eve. I want to talk about the Safari Park. I want to talk about some upcoming guests. So I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. And I hope I'm not fucking this up. Okay, sorry. I'm using different audio software than I used to. And I'm still a little unfamiliar with it, but it looks like everything's fine. So there we go. Okay, so I do want to tell you about the Safari Park and upcoming guest, but as I was peeing, I was looking through my notes to see, I'm like, oh, am I forgetting something I maybe jotted down earlier in the week that I wanted to talk about? And I want to tell you guys about this app, InKind. This is not an ad, okay? I need you to know this is 100% not an ad. I fucking wish it was. This is less about the app, but we went to this restaurant. So I think almost 2 years ago, yeah, it might have been 2 years ago for Nate's birthday or for something, or maybe as a congratulations gift when he started working at WME, which is the agency he works at, I got him this thing I'd stumbled across, which I kind of was like, I don't know if this is like a piece of crap or not. I was looking for like a gift card for restaurants where I'm like, oh, there's like places near Beverly Hills he could, you know, have a gift card to go do lunch by himself or do, excuse me, if he was going out to lunch with a client or something, or if I can visit him at lunch. It's basically, okay, hang on. I'm taking a sip of my coffee and not pausing this because it's a clusterfuck. I'm holding my phone in one hand. I've got a planner on my lap, coffee cup. You know, same old same. It's basically this app that's partnered with a ton of restaurants. So it's not every restaurant. You have to like look at the map kind of on there. But you can use it to pay for your meal and people can send you gift cards on there. And you go to one of these restaurants and you earn, you get like money back on your card. So you get, I don't know, like 20% back. So anyways, we finally used it literally after years. We went to this place. He just was looking around on a map and it was $100 gift card because it was a big deal that he got a job there. You know, and whatever, I don't need to explain. I wanted him to have a nice meal or a couple good small meals, whatever. So he's looking around. He's like, let's go. We had just gotten back. He's on Christmas break. He's like, let's find a place that looks, you know, good, a little elegant or whatever. We find this place called Carmel or Carmel. I don't know. Carmel on Melrose. I think it's Israeli food or I know that's probably loaded. We weren't like eating the souls of Palestinian children. It's like Middle Eastern. He said Mediterranean, but we went there and there was just cuisine that I had just never, flavors I'd never tried before. This restaurant, if you're ever in LA and you're looking for something nice, it was like low lighting. The ambiance was very cool. The food, I'm not kidding. It was the best food I've ever had. And I've had a ton of food. And at the end, we ended up getting a dessert on top of everything else. So instead of, we got, it's share portion type stuff, like the way they serve it. So we got, I don't know, 3 or 4 dishes, shared them, you know, a bunch of different appetizers. just, you know, we're like, okay, well, we're here. Who knows when we'll be back here? Let's try a bunch of different things. There were so many things that just looked great. The thing that they were known for, I mean, I don't know what they're known for, but it was, there was a thing under the appetizers called my grandmother's mushroom cigar, which actually saying that out loud sounds like a penis. Now that I think about it, yeah, he gave me his old mushroom cigar. I don't know what the fuck it even was. It was like rolled up mushrooms and who knows what else is in it, because I don't even like mushrooms. But I was like, if this is the thing that they're known for, Nate wanted to try it. And I was like, I'll suffer through it for him. Holy fuck. Like, I do not like mushrooms unless they're psilocybin mushrooms and magic and bring it on. This was incredible. It was just flavor combinations I've never even imagined or experienced. And all of this to say, highly recommend. At the end, I think the bill we got, we added a dessert, which we both agreed it was delicious. But afterwards, we were like, we didn't need to do the dessert. We were pretty full, but we were like, everything's been so tasty. We want to try something, you know, which happens. Which, yeah, it's, you know, if you've been to a restaurant and you've seen a dessert that looked delicious, and especially if you're a sweet tooth person like me, you know what I'm talking about. I think the bill came to $140 total, like with the tip. So if we had foregone the dessert, it would have been, I know that added probably, that dessert was probably like $22 something. I mean, barely more than like, we would have walked away. I obviously paid for it, really. Which is so funny, because at the end I was like, oh my God, thank you. That was so good. He's like, thank you. You are the one who got the gift card. It's the only reason I found that place. You know, barely having spent extra money, but also then he got money kicked back onto his account. And it wasn't a ton of money, but it was enough that you go, well, I'm obviously going to use this. I can't remember what it was, but it was somewhere between probably 10 and 20 bucks. But they like kick money back. They have partnerships with these restaurants. And I think the whole thing is they're, you know, hoping you'll discover these restaurants or trying to get you to get out more. I don't know how it fully works, how their deals work. But it did. It helped us discover this restaurant. So all that to say, check it out if it's in your area. If in kind, the Carmel is not a chain. It's only here in Los Angeles. Although I do think the chef maybe has a couple other restaurants around the world. And it's, if you're looking for a nice dinner, like I hate, nothing makes me more upset than the fact that my favorite restaurant used to be Chili's, where I could get baked potato soup and fajita pitas, which they haven't made in years, unless they brought them back because it's been that long, and a lava cake for like 20 bucks total. And that was, I mean, in college, dude, and my friend Stacy, my best friend Stacy worked at Chili's and she would hook it up. She's like, don't worry, fucking come by. I'll sneak in some baked potato soup on the house, you know? Like, but even if I paid for it, it was like 20 bucks, maybe? And that was living. Like, I was like, this is the height of being a human. This is the human experience. It doesn't get any better than this. I have achieved self-actualization and my life is so good and so blessed. It brings me no joy to tell you that my favorite restaurant is so far out of my price range for somewhere I could regularly go. Like, have you ever, this is an experience I had with every bite I took. Every bite I took of a new dish at that restaurant, has anyone had this? It pissed me off. Like, I took a bite and literally one time was like, oh, fuck you. Because it just, like, made me so mad that anything could be so good. It's like, I don't know why. Like, that's like the white trash in me flaring up, maybe. Does anyone else have that happen where, like, I think I'm relatively sophisticated given my life experience and how I could be based on my friends and my family. Some of them pretty wild cards, wild cats, and I grew up in the same place, and it's in me and it's come out, but man, I've tamed down quite a bit over the years, but it flares up. Sometimes when I walk into a public restroom and there's like toilet seat covers, and I use them, but I do, there is a tiny part of the back of my brain, because I'm from states, or maybe it was just the times, I don't know when toilet seat covers became a regular part of rotation. I grew up in places that didn't have toilet seat covers in public restrooms, and they may still not. I don't know because I don't live there anymore, but there is this tiny part of me sometimes in the back of my brain that flares up like, oh, you think you're better than me with your butt covers, you know, like. And I swear to God, every bite I took pissed me off. I've gone on far too long about this side note. That was the note I saw, by the way. Have you ever eaten food so good it pisses you off? And I started thinking about this restaurant and just be like, God damn, fuck them forever giving me the experience of knowing what that food tastes like. Like, I don't know. Is this a first world? I mean, it of course is a first world problem, but now I'm like, oh, this is what heroin junkies experience with heroin. I'll be chasing this dragon forever until I can go back to restaurants like that on the regular. But then it just got me thinking about this app. So they're not a sponsor, but at this point, I've talked about them enough. They fucking should be. They owe me money. I'm going to put, in case anyone's interested in this, or you just want to like download the app and take a look, there's just a little, everyone will have this on your, if you make an account, they have the little, everyone gets a referral code where you can give someone 25 bucks and get 25 bucks back or whatever. Oh, 50 bucks back. All right. Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to put that in the show notes in case anyone wants to check it out. You'll get a free 25 bucks. That'll get you. And by the way, it's not all, let me not speak out of turn here. That was a higher end restaurant on there. Now you're like, there are, I'm looking at it now. There's more like regular, there's taco stands, there's Uncle Polly's Deli. Like, it doesn't have to be this Michelin star, Michelin recommended restaurant. So in case you're like, okay, $25 isn't going to go that far. It can, depending on the restaurant. And there's ones on here where they're more Chili's adjacent, sports bar-y. There's like Yardbird, which is one we have that's like that, but wherever you are, they may have their own. So if you want 25 free bucks, I'll put that in the show notes. Either way, highly recommend trying it out, checking it out. If you're someone who loves food, here's the thing. I love new experiences, but I don't love looking for them. But if they're thrust upon me by someone else, I'm all for it. I wish I wasn't like this. I wish I was more proactive in seeking out my new experience. I have to be told by someone that, like, you got to check this thing out, or made aware of it. God, when I had Ariana living with me in my last place, and she'll be on the show later this month, so if you have questions for Ariana, I know we had a pretty heavy conversation when she was on, because I interviewed her about her parents and being the child of refugees. But she's an absolute hoot and an absolute delight, so send those over. I'm going to have my friend Justin Clark on. You guys may remember him from when we tried to make this podcast FFS, and then I realized that was about transgender facial surgery and changed the name back. Nicole Buchanan, who's fucking hilarious. She's a door guy at the store, but that's the bottom of the list of the things she's done. She's a fucking hilarious comedian, but she writes for all the roasts. She wrote for the Tom Brady roast. She just wrote for that Torching 2024. She's does a lot of the roast battles at the store, or she used to. Hilarious. Audrey Stewart, who, if you've seen me live, she was with me on tour all summer, two summers ago. Truthfully, I can't believe I haven't had her on yet. Her and I, by the way, I talked briefly about reviving Slobs and maybe having her be my co-host. So if you're also a slob, listen to this episode. Let me know what you think. Because that's not necessarily off the table completely. Because I kind of want to revive it, but it would have to be with new hosts. Whatever. That's Alyssa Yeoman, who has long ago been a guest. We played hockey together. She's fucking hilarious. She lives down here now. So excited to have her back on. My friend Matt Jones, who is now, we started together in Los Angeles. We were in the same crew. If you remember my episodes with Jeremy Scipio, Buddy Hutton, we all ran together. Somehow I have not had Matt Jones on, and he's now also a full-time middle school drama teacher, which is so hilarious. And there'll be more people. That's just the couple I have that I'm recording in the next couple weeks. So questions, thoughts, whatever, send those for them. And man, I want to do another tour with Audrey featuring, like a spring break thing. Listen, you guys, I pulled tarot cards this morning, and this is such a side, whatever I was just saying has nothing to do with what I'm about to tell you, but I pulled a card, and yeah, it's tarot. And yeah, I'm not a tarot card reader. I probably did it wrong, but who knows? But the third card I pulled was the Tower, and according to my little book, where you read about what the card means, because you're not a tarot card reader, you don't fucking know, it means a big shift is coming, but it made it feel ominous. It was like, you might be blindsided by a new revelation, but trust it's for the best. Hopefully these cards are just a sack of shit and fun, but mean nothing. But I need your help, dear listeners. In the event, in the next coming weeks, months, there is some sort of giant, seemingly negative or heavy dramatic twist in my life, remind me that the tarot card said it was actually for the best. Because maybe the tarot card's still wrong, but that might keep me afloat. This episode's gone on too long. I want to tell you about the safari park, and I want to tell you about, I don't know, my mom, by the way, unrelated to the safari park. Here we go. I've officially given in and will be going on another cruise with my family in June. Am I trying to wrangle a couple friends to go? Sure. But the cruise leaves out of London. And so I am hoping, if you are out there in the UK, especially if you're in London, let me know if you would be interested in seeing me. I see the numbers. I see that there are people there on my analytics on social media, but some direct interaction would not hurt in terms of getting the ball rolling a little bit more. I'm trying to do a show, at least one in London, go out a little early. I don't think anything huge. like a 50-100 seat theater or space comedy club. So if you know of a space that's really cool for comedy out there, please, please let me know. And finally, the Safari Park. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I wrote down New Year's Eve. I don't know why I even wrote that down. I did a show on New Year's Eve. I'm getting too fucking old for New Year's Eve. Also, I have said nothing about... Horrible things happen on the immediate New Year. And I'm rambling on about a restaurant called Carmel or Carmel. I don't even know. What the fuck is going on? Okay, that's going to be a separate episode. And I'm putting a pin in this for next week. I'm literally writing... Solo episode, what the fuck is going on in 2025? And I wrote 2026. Terrorista. Dude, it's all fucking horrible and sketchy, but I feel like this has gone on too long that I don't want to get into what does it mean that an active Green Beret blew up a Cybertruck in front of a Trump Tower. Like, it feels very symbolic, but I don't quite understand how. The New Orleans thing is fucking horrible. That's where I just filmed my special. I love New Orleans. That's a way to fucking make it about me. That's where I filmed my special. I say that to go, any shootings? There was a fucking shooting in a nightclub. That seems like it was gang related. Like, which, by the way, if you haven't read that story, they were shooting up, was it a nightclub? The gathering was to celebrate the life of a guy who'd been shot and killed. And then 10 more people got shot. Nobody got killed. Which, thank God, but also fucking epic fail, honestly. Turn in your gang card if you're missing that much. You gotta go to tech school or something. This isn't your bag, dude. Anytime a tragedy, like a major tragedy... Multiple lives lost, people wounded. It's all fucking so horrible. But there is something heavier when it's like a city, a place that has meaning to you. Obviously. Like when it wasn't like terroristic, when there was a huge earthquake and there have been huge earthquakes in Japan. And I've been like, oh, that's so sad. And it is sad. But when there was one a few years ago in Alaska, I was like, oh, you feel it like in your body. And the New Orleans thing just has fucked me up because it's just such a city. I mean, it's a city. It means a ton to me. I grew up on the Gulf Coast until I moved to Alaska. I was an hour away from New Orleans. We went to New Orleans. I love the culture. I love the people. They're good, friendly people. When you go to New Orleans, especially coming from somewhere like LA, you'll be blown away by the hospitality there. It's just love and fun. It's called the Big Easy. No worries, dude. Like, that's the vibe, but with like a crazy Southern Cajun accent. Okay. And it's New Year's Eve when people are like drunk, celebrating, bringing the New Year's late at night. So what a fucking coward to wait till like people start clocking out and going home. Like, all right, we can wrap things up. He's a piece of shit anyways, but he's a piece of shit and a pussy. Like, you're a fucking pussy, dude. It's just so sad. And my heart goes out to everyone who's been involved in any of these things. But I'm feeling an extra for my people in New Orleans. I just feel like it's just such a good city. And it's already been through so fucking much. Anyway, I'm going to dive into this more in another episode that's probably going to get borderline tinfoil hatty conspiracy-ish because I'm fucking snapping. San Diego Zoo Safari Park, by the way, if you are an animal lover. So that was my gift from Nate for Christmas. We're on a budget. I know it doesn't seem like it when he upgraded us to first class, but that was a rogue experience that he had. By the way, good for him. The way I live, like, I still make zero money sometimes when I make... No, I'm deeply in debt. What am I talking about? I actually have to lock it up. I've went the opposite way for a little too long. But because we're saving for our future and we don't want to be, like, over the top, we do, like, a one gift. Let's each get each other a gift. I got him a nice sweater. I got him a really nice sweater. He had said he wanted a sweater because his office gets cold. We were even together. He tried some on, but he couldn't find one he liked. I found one that I thought he would look really good in. It was not cheap. It wasn't, you know, Milan runway designer, but it was a good sweater. And he said he liked it. The problem is, maybe 4 days before we exchanged gifts, not even 4 days, but 4 days before we left for Christmas and we exchanged gifts after, I had already bought this sweater. It was boxed up. I wrapped it. It had a nice bow on it. He comes home and one of his clients, his fucking biggest client, got him a cashmere sweater. Still had the fucking price tag on it. And it's like more than double what I paid for the one I got him. I was like, oh, now my gift sucks. Now my gift. He didn't say that. He said he loved it. I've seen him wear it, which feels a little performative. He hasn't been back at the office. Feels like he's going out of his way to pretend he loves it. But, dude, fuck you. Fuck you leaving the tag on to be like, look how much I spent on my gift for everyone. Piece of shit. Anyway, I was going to name him, but we don't need to do that. It's neither here nor there, but fucking take the fucking price tag off your gifts, you shitheads. I thought that was just a thing people did when the price was too low. Oh. No, I didn't, I guess. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm still insecure about even the reasonable, what I considered expensive price wasn't good enough. No, you take the fuck, that's it, right? That's just like a weird thing my family does. That's like an etiquette thing. Like you're supposed to cover the price. Am I losing my mind? I mean, maybe, but am I wrong? So anyways, his gift to me was, hang on, I just saw is happening. The note I made for myself for going deeper into that stuff next week on the solo episode, because that's what we're doing. Monday guest, Thursday, Friday-ish, solo. The note I made for myself said, what is Hinton instead of what is happening. It was really fucking cool. He got me a behind-the-scenes safari. They have these packages you can get. I mean, they have these crazy ones, I guess, that last all day and you get like real up close. This was not that. This was not the sweater with the price tag on it level. Fucking piece of shit. I'll never get over it. I'm going to steal that sweater and sell it on Poshmark. Okay. This was, you can pick your type of safari. So we did behind the scenes Africa. It was called Africa, but like, I guess we drove back where some of the African animals are. I will say we barely made it in time. We actually made it late and they had to take us on a cart to meet up with our tour because they start right away. And we left with plenty of time, but they fucking had like lanes closed in the parking lot when you're coming in, like to let people in and pay for parking on January 2nd. I was like, dude, it's fucking, this is tourist time. What are we doing here? So we scrambled to get in and I was about to be devastated. They're like, well, we could always put you on another one. You could go in late, but we could put you on another one. And the people at the front said, we probably missed the first thing. Turns out we didn't. The first thing was going to the bedroom area of the lions. That sounds so sexual. It was just three sister female lionesses, but you were so fucking close. It was so cool. I'm so glad we made it in time. And then we drove around. We got like, we didn't get any closer to the rhinos than anyone else gets. We were just on the back end of them. And there was a lot of education. I learned about the southern and white, northern white rhinos. There's two northern white rhinos left on Earth. And they're both women. And one's too old to breed. And one is too old to, not too old, she just has like a bad hip. So she can't, like giving birth would ruin her. But apparently they have, this was weird to me. They have cells from past white rhinos. They basically have a big jizz bank that on a different tour you can get closer to. Their frozen zoo. It's a bunch of animal cum. And right now they're working on creating the technology that one of these southern, that they could maybe make an embryo somehow. And the southern rhinos could be surrogates. And she was explaining the part of the reason that rhinos are poached so much is their horn, which, by the way, is made out of keratin. It's the same shit that's in our hair and nails. It's just like more tightly wound, like the I don't know. It creates a horn. And so it's, I guess, you know, much thicker hair. But I mean, I have thicker hair than people with thin hair, and nails are thicker than hair. So it makes sense that it would still come from the same type of thing. They're hunted because people believe that there are medicinal properties in there. That's what she said. You know, some people believe there are medicinal properties. You can't tell people that, you know, things aren't actually medicinal, even though they're not. There was a little girl on the tour whose favorite animal was rhino. So I didn't ask this, but I wanted to ask if she just meant boner pills. Like, are rhinos going extinct because men have erectile dysfunction and they're so hung up on their dicks that they're like, there's got to be an answer. Let's extinct a population of animals. And by the way, rhinos contribute, like, losing rhinos fucks up the whole ecosystem because of how they move around. The way that they'll, like, dig up mud, like, they splash around in mud, but apparently, you know, they will splash around in mud or, like, do whatever to dig up because they have sensitive skin. So the mud helps their skin. It feels good. Helps with sunburns and bug bites, which they hate, but then they end up carrying soil. They, like, end up digging up deeper soil. And as they're stomping around, that soil gets moved around. It helps things grow. So losing them is fucking up the entire ecosystem. All because men are like, well, maybe it'll make my dick hard again. We did get really close to a South American porcupine. Almost got quilled, honestly. We saw I saw an owl in the daylight. They were showing us. They took us to this amphitheater where they do shows. They do like a bird show at 2 p.m., but you go in a private group, and that's when they're training the animals. So they like to do these in front of small groups because it's making the animals comfortable, but with a smaller amount of people. There was a falcon that just whooshed around. I don't get it. Because that bird could fly away at any point. I don't know how they keep it from, I guess because it just knows there's food. But, dude, the falcon was crazy. Wow. Have you ever seen a bird walk on the ground? It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. But they got it to, it would like tap its nose on this tiny thing because it knew it would get a treat. Mouse. It's a mouse. I couldn't tell from far away, but they told me that's what it was. And they got him to walk into it, like willingly walk into a crate. And I'm like, I can't get my dog to do that. The baby steps which they were taking with this animal, with like they'd lift the crate up an inch and then give it another treat because, you know, it'd be like, you don't have to be scared, here's a treat, you just deal with it, you'll be fine. I'm like, oh, this is why my dog isn't as well behaved as other dogs, because I was really taking leaps and bounds when I was quote training her. All of this to say, if you're ever in the San Diego Escondido area and you love animals, it's a beautiful experience. Highly recommend going, and it's worth it to me. If you are even remotely into animals and learning about them, but also just being near them, the upgrade of getting the behind the scenes, it was really worth it to me. And I'll probably talk about it more in depth later, but I've been going on too long. So listen, what did we cover? Nothing of any significance, that's for sure. When does Trump even get into office? I no longer know. I should look at the news because all I can think of is January 6th, which is crazy. Speaking of January 6th, this has nothing to do with January 6th, but that's when Grinchmas ends at Universal Studios. And my best friend Lauren from high school, she's been basically in the background of a Patreon episode I did once at an airport in Nashville with my friend Mindy. She and her husband and their kids were in California for a hockey tournament. So we met up with them at Universal Studios and we saw Grinchmas. My friend Ange, who is the girlfriend of Noah, who I'm sure will be on the show at some point. Noah Kopfer, if you've seen me in Grand Rapids, seen me in a couple other places, Arizona. He opened for me there. He edits all my clips. He's editing my special. She did my makeup on the special. She does the makeup on the Whoville people. It was so cool. She had done the mayor that day. She came out and said hi. She put a little Whoville glitter on me and Lauren. And I mean, just seeing her work is incredible. Like the way that, I mean, they do full prosthetics. She usually does like horror and special effects. So this is her kind of Christmas little Christmas gig, which is good to have because I think for the most part, the rest of the industry is shut down. So it's great. She has like something that can carry her through that time. And just, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what kind of money she makes. I assume pretty solid, but you never know. And then sometimes it's just nice to have something to do. Probably. She really loves it. And I think she does. She used to do Halloween horror. Maybe she still does it. But she seemed to really love the Christmas stuff. Anyway, my friend Lauren has kids who are now 9 and 13. And it was revealed to me by the 13-year-old that he's been watching my Instagram. And if you follow me on Instagram, you know that it is not meant for a 13-year-old. So he was quoting bits back to me. He's like, well, I'm not the one who's done this. I had to block him. I had to block a 13-year-old because, like, I'm not a prude. Like, I always thought in a situation like this, I'd be like, it's your kid. You know what I mean? If they're watching my stuff, that's on you. And a part of me does still feel like that with kids who I will never interact with. But having a kid quote back your stuff to you and then, like, and that kid is, like, your nephew. I mean, it would gross me out if it was any kid. Yeah, no, I had to think about it because I've just only had it from this experience. But it's just this extra layer of like, my friend's sweet little angel boy who I watched grow up and I know him, which makes it even more just having a youth quote back your dirty material. Horrific. Gag. Like my skin was crawling. I was horrified. It made me almost regret every decision I've ever made. But I was like, that's not for you. But also, it's the internet. And I just was like, okay, I'm blocking him. I blocked him. I was like, I can't have you. If you were 18, I'd be like, all right, it's weird. Stop. You'd be adult enough also. You're not like a mooning, booger-flinging 13-year-old boy who, like, he just thinks it's funny. It's a South Park to him. You know what I mean? But, ugh, it just creeped me out. And their kids are both extremely great hockey players, so they're looking at moving somewhere outside of Alaska to really, I mean, I'm so impressed by it, and I mean, I think it's just great parenting that they're like, if they're able to afford being able to fully support their kids chasing this dream as far as they can chase it, they're going to do that instead of going, just not doing it, because maybe it's a little uncomfortable for them, so they're currently looking into figuring out a place in the lower 48 they can move that has, you know, one of these higher level teams where their kids could join and develop, you know, for college scholarships or maybe even beyond that. Who knows? You know, maybe going all the way to the NHL. But if nothing else, paying for college and getting to do what they love to do at the highest level possible so they can just feel like they gave them that opportunity. And I keep trying to be like, California's got good hockey programs. And they do, but they're both, like, there's just not a chance in hell that they're like, the amount of money. My friend Lauren looked at, she's like, I'm looking at rentals out here. And like, it's stupid. He's like, it's just, why do you, we'll never spend this amount of money. And it is crazy. Especially the income tax. Nate asked a completely hypothetical question about like, which place would I rather live? And he named three places. Like, if we had to move, we're not moving. We're never moving. He doesn't want to leave here. Which, why would he pose that question? If there's never a chance that we're moving. I mean, his job is here. Right now, that's just not even on the table until he's in a position where, like, in the future, he could be in a position where he could fly back and forth or work wherever. There's higher agents, big, you know, partners and stuff who don't technically live here and they just come in a few times a year. But he asked where I'd rather live between Tennessee, Texas, and Florida. And who knows? I mean, I could go back and forth on that all day, but I won't. Because of the, because those are places without income tax. And now I'm writing this down because I might dig into that further. Tennessee, Texas, or Florida. Which one of those would you guys rather live in? And he was thinking in terms of, well, where is still like a viable place to technically like do comedy? What has like some type of a scene? And I don't think he even thought about the fact that Florida had a scene. It just has like some clubs and then the proximity to like Atlanta is decent. which is a hub to fly out of. But then out of curiosity, I just started looking at the difference in, okay, if someone makes X amount per year, how much are they taking home in this state versus California? And I picked, I think the salary I picked was $150,000. I was like, if someone makes $150,000 a year, just making up a number, someone's like a, you know, working hard at whatever they do and that's what their company pays them, what do they take home? And in California, you take home less than $100,000 if you make $150,000. That's... And I don't know if he hadn't asked me that, if I ever would have thought about it, but he did ask me that. And I looked that up and I think it's been quietly eating. I don't make that kind of money. I every year I keep going, this is the year I make 100,000. I don't even get, I think I made less money this year than I made last year. I don't think I crossed 50,000. But that has been subconsciously haunting me. The fact that more of that money is going to a government that is not doing anything. Like, you know what? I would have no problem with taxes if they were actually taking care of shit. But I'm giving the government more money to what? Fucking, that I'm giving in this theoretical world where I have a salary and it's significantly more than I make right now. To do what? Kill children? It's not helping people. I don't fucking know where that money's going. I know that there's homeless people everywhere. There's a huge drug problem. Anyway, what a fun ending. So listen, it's New Year's. If you're still listening, God bless you. Honestly, universe bless you. May Allah bless and keep you. Whatever you believe in. Do you have resolutions? What are your thoughts? What are you looking forward to in the new year? What are we letting go of? Oh, that was a tarot card I pulled. I'll leave on this. So the first tarot card you pull, I follow, it's in my planner. It's like a woo-woo basic bitch horoscope planner that like tells you when planets change. I love it. But it's on the Chani app. Or I bought it from the Chani app, which is a whole thing. I'm making a note to tell you about why I had a premium membership. Why I'm leaving Chani. And I'll tell you in a future episode why I'm not fucking giving this bitch money anymore. Sorry. She is an astrologer and she has been pretty spot on with some things. And I just enjoyed the aesthetic. I've had it for like 2 years. I've been using her, 2 or 3 years. I've been using her app and I don't know. I just like it. Like I'm skeptic with astrology. Like you go, maybe it's all nothing. But like, you know, there's all this data. Ever since I had B on, if you guys remember her, that her framing it like, no, it's just like patterns that seem to creep up. When the stars are like this, historically, things like this happen. And that's what real astrology is based on. It's not psychic. It's not whatever. It's just like, here's what we've noticed in history. And this always seems to be in the sky when these things happen. But the first card you pull 3 cards. And that big shift one was the third card, which is like, really, what are you healing? What are you calling in moving towards this month? But the first is what you're ready to release. And I'm releasing feeling powerless, not, you know, believing in myself or believing that I have the power to take control of my circumstances. And I think that's really, I'm choosing to aim that toward like career stuff. Hint, like the podcast, I have all the power in the world to put this out. No one can stop me. None of you can stop me, no matter how much you hate it. So what are you releasing? What are you letting go of? Self-doubt, self-criticism, an addiction. I'm trying to release perfectionism. Although I did the last 2 days get 15,000 steps. And now today it feels like I'm slacking. But wait, but we're releasing that. We're calling in joy. We're calling in positivity and gratitude and belief in ourselves and in our power. And, you know, patience with all the fucking idiots out there. So listen, thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient with my ignorance. I'll see you soon, idiots.